Welcome to CRE Radio with Howard Klein, radio for and about the commercial real estate professional. Our focus is exploring issues facing landlords and tenants, property and asset managers, investors, brokers, lenders, and everyone in the industry. Our style is conversation over coffee with highly experienced commercial real estate professionals. Over 35 years, Howard's legal and commercial real estate practice has centered on broker, leasing, and property management issues. CRE Radio is presented with the intent of engaging, educating, and entertaining our audience. Access our archive shows, upcoming schedule, and engaging articles at creradio.com or subscribe to the show on iTunes by searching for CRE Radio. And now, here's Howard Klein.
Welcome to the show. Don't state your name because the announcer just said it. Oh, no, Mike, I'm sorry. I was reading that. I shouldn't have said that. No, I'm just teasing. I like to torture Mike. I can hear him just making faces in the background, actually. Mike mentions that I shouldn't be repeating my name. So that's the start of that. We've got a really exciting group of featured guests for this show. Today's show is social media best practices for commercial real estate. I literally have an all-star cast of Bobby Reuter, Bo Barron, Sarah Malcolm, and Michael Legazzo, and a special guest later on in the show who is a Pinterest maven and who's going to be coming on, and we'll announce her name when she comes on. So before we go any further, why don't I ask each of my guests to introduce themselves and give a 30-second elevator speech about who they are and what they do for anybody out there who isn't already familiar with them, which will be hard for me to believe. Sarah, why don't you start?
Hey, I'm Sarah Malcolm, and I'm the Director of New Media at ICSC, International Council of Shopping Centers. And so what does that mean? It's just a fancy title for saying that I run social media. I actually started the program and the mobile program as well, so all the ICSC mobile apps, as well as the marketing end on the website. So I get to talk to all of you all day long on Twitter. I love it.
Oh, gosh, what a fun job.
It is.
That really has got to be fun. And at some time later on in the show, if we can get a little bit about, I have a personal interest in the mobile apps and what the purpose is and what you're trying to do. Michael Legazzo, why don't you introduce yourself? And before you do, let me just say I've worked with Michael on legal matters, and he's very, very good. But boy, has he grown in the social media CRE area. He is a rising star. So, Michael, let's see you do better than that.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for having us on the show, Howard, and thanks for such a generous introduction. I'm a former shopping center manager, and I'm now working as a broker helping retailers find storefronts and also helping landlords sell shopping centers.
Well, that is interesting. Next, okay. One of you I'm going to have to leave for last, and I'm just going to spin the dial and come up with a name. Bo, you called in before Barbie, so I'm going to give you this shot. Why don't you introduce yourself, Bo?
Yeah, my name is Bo Barron, and I'm the Vice President of Organizational Development for Sperry Van Ness International. And basically what that means is it's my job to help our advisors improve their productivity and their profitability. And I also blog at bobarron.com. And Howard, man, thanks for having me on the show. This is a great honor. I've been a fan and a listener for a while, so this is special for me.
No, the honor is mine. And seriously, Bo's been around doing this. Certainly, I'm a relative newcomer here, and Bo's like all over social media, as is everyone else who's a guest on my show. And Barbie, last but not least, one of my favorite repeat guests, Bobby Reuter. Please introduce yourself for those who don't already know.
Howard, thank you. I'm now the alto in this quartet, I think. It's great to be back. I'm a principal with a local firm that's globally connected in Tucson, Arizona. We are Cushman & Wakefield PICOR, and I have a company leadership role that translates to internal leadership and external community-facing marketing, branding, blogging, and research.
And I'd like to mention that Barbie was on our show called The Art of Balance, which was really a discussion about how women balance their personal, family, and careers. And it's not an easy thing. As a matter of fact, I'm in the process of writing a couple of articles. That show really inspired me to look at myself and say, okay, this show is about women, but my gosh, I've got no balance. So my wife and I are working on that. All right, so the first question I'd like to ask, now I want each of you to know that subject to being a proper etiquette to everyone else, please jump in as soon as you want to, without interrupting someone else. This is a discussion, and there's no specific way of who has to go first. But I am going to start with Barbie, because I ended with her on the introduction. So my first question, and I think we should start out with, are we, and I would include that in the conversation, are we social media experts? And Barbie, why don't you answer that question from your perspective, and why?
Oh, I love that question, Howard, because social media experts in the infancy of this whole arena over the last few years were a dime a dozen. And I know everybody on this call, and I know not one of us would profess to be an expert. We might be called power users. We might be called enthusiasts. We might be called a lot of other things, but we leave the guru and expert titles elsewhere.
Well, why wouldn't you call yourself an expert?
It's not what I do for a living, for one thing. You know, commercial real estate is my world, and social media is a tool to advance my business and expand my network. So that's probably the foremost answer.
Well, Sarah, this is what you do for a living.
It is, but I still would not call myself an expert. I think social media, as much as it's changing every single day, as much as we're still learning, I feel like it's still too new for anyone to really be an expert. So I think there's, like Barbie said, power users, but I definitely think that expert's going to be a few more years before anybody can really claim that title.
Michael, what about you? You just shot up out of nowhere. I knew you personally from doing legal work, and then all of a sudden I'm seeing you all over Twitter. How do you view yourself?
Howard, it was great working with you, and it was a privilege.
Oh, you say that to all the attorneys.
Not at all, but no.
Doesn't want to get sued.
Thanks for asking. I certainly don't consider myself an expert. I was surprised that the conversations and the depth of discussion on something that typically isn't mainstream, commercial real estate. So for myself, it's just an extension of the conference circuit where I get to meet really sharp folks that I normally may not have access to on the conference circuit or in the marketplace, but it's great to have exposure to their ideas and practices. And overall, it helps us take care of our clients and just conduct business smartly.
Bo, you're the senior. I'm the oldest, but you know, from what I can tell, you're the senior member of the social media crew. You really blog quite a lot.
I love to blog. I love it. It's an outlet it's kind of a repository of my best thinking. It helps me clarify things, but I'm certainly no expert. An expert's somebody that's innovative, that knows things backward and forward. I have never had an original thought in my life. And when it comes to social
that's
media...
That's not true!
You know, I can promise you it's true. Everything I know, I've repackaged from a book I've read or from something I've learned from somebody else, and I'm certainly not the senior member on this crew, because I learned Twitter by following Barbie and Michael. They were two of the first I ever met when I got on Twitter, and And I've learned by watching how they do it. But if you think of social media like a watch, I have no idea how that watch works, but I can tell time. It's a tool for me to enhance what I do on a daily basis, and that's simply what it is. But I would agree with the others. I'm certainly not an expert.
Well, why don't we take a brief break? And when we come back, I'd like to talk about what your learning process was, which I'm pretty confident, while in some respects it may be a little bit different, for the most part, it was, we don't know anything, and all of a sudden we start gaining our scars as we go along. So for each of you, I'd like you to describe that as soon as we come back.
Commercial brokers spend more time selling and less time organizing with Building Blocks CRE. Built by brokers for brokers, Building Blocks CRE is the dead simple, best business organizer out there. Set up and learn in minutes. Track deals, contacts, listings, and more. Easier than ever before. Right now, save 10% when you visit blockcre.com. Use promo code Howard. Remember, Building Blocks CRE. Easy to learn, easy to use. See for yourself. Log on to blockcre.com.
The Institute of Real Estate Management believes good management matters and that well-managed properties pay big dividends. IRM delivers the power of knowledge and recognizes the importance of sharing it. IRM serves real estate professionals who manage all property types. They're dedicated to delivering cutting-edge networking and educational opportunities for every stage of your career. How can IRM help you? To count the ways, log on to IRM Orange County. That's IREMOC.org. Learn more today. For questions, feedback, or topics you'd like to hear about, you can reach us on our website. Click the comment button on any show page at creradio.com. On Twitter, send a reply to @CREradio, via email to questions@CREradio.com, or call in during the live show at 619-393-6492 and press 1 to be placed in queue.
I am impressed, Barbie. I just saw your tweet in Twitter. And I'm quickly trying to type back saying I'm impressed. So glad to have everybody back. But before the break, what I wanted to get into was the process of social media. Sarah, how did you get into this, and what has been your journey, so to speak?
You know, not to go on too long, but I started years ago, about 11, 12 years ago. I actually started as a musician, and I was broke in college and wanted to, be a big superstar. So I actually used online marketing as a tool. And so I really learned it at its infancy, grassroots, mp3.com, mp3.com.au, tonos.com. This is like back in the day. And
let me interrupt you. Yeah. Back in the day, how many years ago was that?
Early, like late 90s, early 2000s.
Sorry, I didn't mean to
laugh. Well, in social, that's back in the day. We're talking social years here.
Okay, yeah. Right? You're not counting the rings around my leg then.
No. So I just started doing it for myself, and then I went to school, a bunch of musicians, and they said, hey, can you do it for us? And then it, started doing it for companies and book authors, and it just kept growing from there. And then, MySpace, that was a big one that I was managing people's MySpace accounts, some musicians. And then it just, turned into Twitter, turned into Facebook, and then, finally companies were taking this role seriously as a real job, and ICSC hired me a few years ago. So that's really how I got into it. And, understanding, I've had some failures and I've had some successes. And that's the great thing about social is you find out really quickly what works and what doesn't. So I've been lucky to be in it for a little while.
Michael, why don't you discuss a little bit of your journey and your mistakes? Because I want the listeners to understand that part of this is making mistakes.
I agree. I started off transitioning from biotech and startups into commercial real estate. My experience was there was so much scarcity, almost manufactured around industry knowledge, including which publications to subscribe to. I came in with a class of junior folks, and so what drove me is sharing whatever I learned as a newcomer or an outsider to the industry with a lot of college graduates and fellow junior people, and I seemed to get a good response, and I wanted to advocate their interests and sort of accelerate their careers, and that's really the impetus with me sharing so much information. A lot of folks are actually pretty annoyed with my volume, but and it's democratic. They're free to opt out, but for the folks that I help, we've developed sort of a platform of relationships, and through our career, we help each other with the next hiring decision, the next client meeting, whatever it takes, and that's been the value for me is the emphasis on the network, advice, the social element of it.
So, Bo, you were a little late to the Twitter area, but you started, I'm assuming, with blogging. How did you start getting into it, and what were your kind of mistakes and experiences?
Yeah, well, two different subjects here, but on the Twitter side of things, I remember giving a presentation to our local Chamber of Commerce on how to use social media, and this is probably late 2009. And my comment about Twitter was it was the dumbest thing I'd ever heard of.
Oh, I love
you,
Bo.
Who wants to know what you're eating for lunch, you know? I did not get it. And then in February of 2010, our company put on a one-hour call-in webinar kind of deal on how to use Twitter. And there was this consultant that came on to speak. His name was Michael Myatt with Into Growth. And he gave me a blueprint of how to use Twitter, so I started doing it. The funny thing about that, and a huge mistake that I made, is I had all the tweets were going to my cell phone, which you can do, and I didn't follow a whole lot of people, but my tweets a lot, and so I was getting all these text messages. I was like, oh, I got to turn this off, and I thought I'd read that if you typed in kill in somebody's Twitter handle, that it would stop them. Stop getting all these texts. So I start tweeting out, kill Michael Maya.
Oh, no.
So I start getting these phone calls and these people, hey, man, that's not what you – I don't know what you're trying to do or if I've offended you, but stop, please. So I hear I'm broadcasting the world of kill, and all I wanted to do is stop the text messaging. But I've been blogging for about a year, and you know, I've always kind of wanted to do it, but I didn't really have a framework of – how to pull it off. And I read a book last year, the summer of last year, called Platform, written by a guy named Michael Hyatt, who used to be the publisher of Thomas Nelson Publishing. And in there, he just tells you how to do it. And like I said earlier, I've never had an original thought, so I did exactly what he told me to do. And it's been a great thing. And when you start writing like that, it's like your brain starts to format, and you start to remember things that you'd forgotten that you can use as stories. And the biggest mistake I've done with the blogging is not being consistent enough. I don't think quantity doesn't matter, you know, if you do it every day or every week or a couple of times a month. It's that your readers start to develop trust with you, that you're going to be putting out a certain amount of content, certain amount of quality every so many days or however often you do it. So I took the whole summer off this year. Big mistake. And I would do that differently. But
I've made the same mistake. That is one of the most difficult parts of doing it. But there's a method that I've started to learn. Barbie, why don't we talk about your mistakes?
Oh, my mistakes. I've got plenty. I love your story, Bo. That was really funny. I jumped into the pond. I was chairing the program committee for our local crew chapter, and we were bringing in a social media person to speak, you know, way back in 2009. And I thought, I better start a Twitter account and understand a little bit about this before they come in so I know what they're talking about. So that was kind of the launch of my my Twitter activity and probably love of social media. But mistakes, oh, plenty of mistakes. I have a texting mistake, too, where I had some Twitter text connections and I was off running with my running partner in the morning before the sun came up. And when the sun came up, I realized I had on two different shoes and I had left her and I texted her. I thought I texted her. This funny story, and apparently it came through as a tweet because I sent it to the wrong place. So I learned how to delete a tweet that way. And then I think that you can also, there's this whole element of being yourself out there, but when you're learning, you do make mistakes. And when you own them and own them publicly, it's important. And I've certainly had to do plenty of that early on.
Yeah. Let's pause briefly for a word from our sponsors. Stay with us.
What's next for commercial real estate and retail marketing? Pop-up retail, and it's here now. PopUpInsider.com is the premier online resource for owners to advertise and fill properties for temporary use. PopUpInsider.com is where merchants and brands shop for temporary locations. See for yourself. Go to PopUpInsider.com, create your own account, market your empty spaces, or view available locations for your business, all on one convenient site. PopUpInsider.com.
Manage a shopping center? Always looking for new ideas? Tactics. Tactics Magazine is the idea magazine for shopping center marketing directors all over the world. Exciting promotions, gift with purchase programs, and full-blown ad campaigns. Every edition of Tactics is packed with features, ideas, and news you can use to get the word out and grow your numbers. How can you manage a shopping center without your tactics? Log on to TacticsMagazine.com. Today would be good. TacticsMagazine.com.
For questions, feedback, or to suggest a topic, here's how to reach us. On our website, click the comment button on any show page at CREradio.com. On Twitter, send a reply to @CREradio or via email to questions@CREradio.com.
Welcome back to CRE Radio today. Thanks for being with us. So we were just talking about everybody else's mistakes, and I suppose I should jump in a little bit myself. Actually, I started out writing blogs, I think 2007 and 2008. Did it totally wrong. I struggled with consistency because being a lawyer, whatever I wrote was like 3 pages long, and it had to be perfect. So it just took a huge amount of work. And somewhere along the lines, I learned, well, why don't you just break it up into 5 smaller stories? That helped me write the blog a bit, and then I started in with LinkedIn because I had a client who owed me a lot of money and wasn't paying me. So I took December off, and I literally said, what's this LinkedIn? And I've made many mistakes along the way. And Twitter, literally 2 years ago about, I joined Twitter because I didn't know what to do. But my story is the same as Bo's. I don't need to... You know, why am I doing this? I don't need to hear about someone going to the bathroom or what they had for lunch. I didn't appreciate it. It took me a year, though. And all of a sudden, I had 86 followers. And I couldn't understand.
Can I jump in with another mistake?
Sure.
Sorry, we were talking about newbie mistakes earlier, but I think there's a strategic mistake that is fairly common, and that's losing track of who your audience is.
Mm.
And so it's this idea of balance between focusing on your message and being personal. And when you sway too far one direction or the other, it's not as well received.
Well, I think that's a perfect point because even in my own tweet, my audience is commercial real estate, but occasionally I throw those personal things in just so that people recognize that I'm a human being. And let me ask, why is that? Why, even if this is business, what's the personal part of that. Barbie, you want to chime in on that?
Well, sure, because I have a social media presence for my company that I maintain and for myself, and I tell many people that it's much easier to build connections as a person than as a brand, because people want to connect with people. And so I know from all the people on this panel, I know that Michael Lagazza is a martial artist, and I know that Bo Baron adores his beautiful children, and I still would refer business to either one of them. So they've become human through these interactions that we've had.
Well, what about you, Sarah? You had, you had actually started this part of the conversation. Is social media about, I'm going to take it to the next logical step, is social media about advertising, hitting eyeballs? Is it about emotional connections, or is it both?
Okay, so it's first about making emotional connection. You have to engage your audience. If you don't engage your audience, number one, you're not going to have anyone to talk to because you're not going to have any followers. So you have to figure out who your audience is and really understand what's important to them and what do they want to hear. You know, if you're Kim Kardashian, they want you to talk about yourself. If you're not, they want you to talk about what's important to them. So and then here and there, it's like a golf game. So if a lot of commercial real estate folks out there, you know, go golfing to do deals, right? So you go out on the golf course, you know, you play, you know, talk about this, talk about that, some personal, you know, information back and forth, and then eventually you get to business. So it's the same on social. It's like you fit it in where it makes sense, but the majority of the time you don't want to be that annoying person. Another analogy is a dinner party. You know, right when you go to the dinner party, do you get right down to business and start talking about it, or do you, you know, have a couple drinks, have fun, socialize, and then eventually kind of get down to business? Same thing.
Well, Bo, do you agree with that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. If you think about what social media is there for, it's certainly not a megaphone. You don't want people screaming at you like it's a TV commercial. It's much more like having a conversation. And as a commercial real estate advisor or broker, you know, you're always trying to build relationships that are meaningful, where you add value to the relationship, to the other person, because you want to establish trust. You want them to like you. People do business with people that they trust and they like. And that's what you're trying to establish on social media. And you do that by engaging in conversation and by adding value to the people that follow you, which is so important to know your audience then. If you follow me, you know that, you know, 80% of what I tweet about is commercial real estate related. And then I try to get personable enough so that people don't think I'm just some commercial real estate tweeting machine, but that I'm a real person. I want them to like me. That helps in doing business.
You can develop a Michael is the only one that I had known outside of social media, but I have not. Have I ever personally met you, Michael? I don't think so.
I don't think so, Howard.
No.
We're over the phone a lot.
But I feel like I have developed personal relationships with each and every one of you. You're like my friends. And that's one of the most amazing things about social media is that it's an emotional like. But can't it also be, for the purpose of gaining visibility and exposure? Michael, what's your thought on that?
I've never met Barbie Reuter. However, I had projects in Southern Arizona, and there was enough trust and a professional relationship where I recommended that Barbie's firm handle the brokerage for those projects. So the Tour of the Lutes example, but there are economic benefits. Is it a direct route? Perhaps. There's some inbound lead generation, you know, strategies, but that's never really been my approach. A lot of folks don't even know what I do or who I am.
Well, you also, I'm going to mention, have something to do with that, with the bus. What's that bus thing? Which, by the way, is a good idea. This is a free plug. Go ahead.
Thanks, Howard. It's the retail bus tour. Basically, we have 150 or so accredited investors, tenant brokers, merchants, and we showcase a route of 20 to 30 shopping centers. These are not typically regional malls, but we bring occupants and investors who are ready to make a purchasing decision or engage in a transaction right to your front door. And a property representative, either the leasing agent or a property manager, can walk through the vacancies, talk about all the economic deal points, and get you one step closer to the deal. But thanks for the plug.
Yeah, it's an adoption of what residential brokers do often on Fridays, once a month or once a week, where they do a tour of a group of homes. We'll be back with more from Sarah, Barbie, Beau, and Michael right here on CRE Radio.
Attention commercial real estate brokers and professionals. Have you ever struggled to find the true ownership behind a commercial property? What about finding the phone number, email, and name of the actual decision maker? ProspectNow.com tracks this information on more than 10 million commercial and multifamily properties nationwide. Howard's listeners are invited to a 3-day free trial. Simply go to ProspectNow.com and enter the promotion code Howard.
That's ProspectNow.com.
Commercial brokers spend more time selling and less time organizing with Building Block CRE. Built by brokers, for brokers, Building Block CRE is the best business organizer out there. Set up and learn in minutes. Track deals, contacts, listings, and more. Easier than ever before. Right now, save 10% when you visit BlocksCRE.com. Use promo code Howard. Remember, Building Blocks CRE. Easy to learn, easy to use. Log on to BlocksCRE.com.
For questions, feedback, or topics you'd like to hear about, you can reach us on our website. Click the comment button on any show page at CREradio.com. On Twitter, send a reply to @CREradio. Via email to questions@creradio.com or call in during the live show at 619 area 393-6492 and press 1 to be placed in queue.
Now, I've got to tell you that I am definitely multitasking, but we're discussing social media best practices for CRE professionals. Welcome back. And when I'm talking about multitasking, I'm looking at the Twitter stream, and Barbie just wrote, "I've never met Barbie Reuter." Barbie
Reuter.
Thank you. Let's try that again. Sure. But there was enough trust that I'd recommend her when I could, and that was at Michael.
That was Mike. Yeah.
Yeah. Nice plug for bus tour. Shannon is following me. Sarah Malcolm says social media is like a dinner party, have a drink. Now, how many people do you think that went out to between all of those? How many thousands of people have had an opportunity to actually see those tweets?
20,000.
Yeah, that kind of beats playing golf.
Half of those are Michael's.
Yeah.
Right. Half of it's from Michael.
Wait, hold it. I've got one more here. CRE Radio. Head to my profile and find out the best way to drop 20 pounds in 28 days. That's
Click on the link.
No, I wouldn't. Yeah, if there's a tip that we could give to anybody is don't click on that link. Please understand that. Never done it, but I know people who would do that. So, you know,
and if you recognize the friends and they say you need to lose 5 pounds, if your friend is saying you need to lose 5 pounds, need a new friend, or their account was spammed.
Well, that's right.
What do they know that by looking at my picture to send that to me? I mean, it bothers me.
I have to add my CRE pet peeve, which is don't post listings on social media.
Now,
amen.
Okay, we don't like that. That's a good point. We don't like to do that because we think that we're providing something more valuable, more in-depth, and we feel that we have an understanding that there's more to it. It's developing relationships. But really, is that all that... I mean, I don't want to see any of that, but is that all that bad?
Well...
Who's talking? Mention your name.
It's Barbie, but I've done a lot of talking. If Bo wants to answer or Mike, jump in.
Nobody's jumping
okay,
in,
I'll keep
so
talking.
Please.
No, go ahead, Barbie.
I'll keep talking. To me, it's not the place. There are, if you're looking for commercial property, you go to LoopNet or CoStar or a brokerage house. You don't go to social media, and so it clutters the stream with irrelevant information.
The only thing that putting listings on Twitter or any of these other social media platforms does for you is it allows you to decrease the people that are going to follow you. That's all it does.
Right.
Nobody wants to see it. And, you know, you have to have a mindset on all these social media platforms that it's not about what you're getting out of it. You're trying to provide value for everybody who follows you. It's what they get out of it. And people on there are not looking for things to buy. That's not why they're engaged. It's called social for a reason.
You're right on. I couldn't say it any better than that. And I think that if you're looking to get real value, you have to be social. And this raises the next question. Is this a long-term or short-term strategy? Sarah?
I mean, social media is definitely a long-term strategy. So, I mean, who knows what it's going to be in 5 years? I don't think anybody knows, but it's just a piece of the puzzle. So, I mean, email marketing, online marketing, mobile, traditional marketing, and social, you know, should all be a part of your strategy. And you know, again, it's kind of like when websites started. You know, is this site thing really going to take off? Is this internet stuff really going to work? And obviously now it's incredible. So we don't know what social is going to be, but I would say definitely it's going to be a long-term strategy. Now, how you're going to use it in 5 years is to be determined. But, I mean, with millions and millions and a billion people on Facebook, I mean, it's definitely here to stay for a while.
Absolutely. You had mentioned the word engagement. Michael, what does that mean to you, engagement?
Through interaction, you create impressions unique to that person. And as you conduct business, you may pick a service provider because of that impression, or you may win a hiring decision because of the impressions you create. At least that's my two cents.
Howard, let me share something about Michael, if that's okay.
Sure.
Because this is how he creates impressions. Is when I started tweeting and I started following him, he followed me back, and we started to interact a little bit. I'd tweet something out, and he would thank me for the great information or whatever. He was just polite, and that made an impression on me. And then we started to connect on a little bit of a personal level, from everything from business to our faith, all that stuff. Then the guy finds out that I love coffee, and he sends me coffee from San Diego, California. I was blown away. I've never met him in person, but I'd probably hug him if I saw him. And that's exactly what happened in May at the ICSC. I'd never met Barbie before, but when I did, we started with a hug. I mean, a real relationship has started there where I absolutely trust her. I know she's an expert because she demonstrates it on a daily basis. And that's how you create trust and interaction and impressions. But
so that's a great point. When I met Barbie the first time, I gave her a huge hug at the Florida conference. I meet our Twitter followers all the time. And, I mean, when in life do you first meet someone in person and you give them a huge hug in a business environment? That's not normal. And that's
no,
like the type of connection.
It's not.
Social, you know, makes it happen.
Is anybody going to be at the ICSC Western Division Conference in San Diego next week?
I will.
I'm going to give you a big hug.
Yay!
I'm going to give you a big... I'll see you there, Sarah. I'm going to be walking around doing video interviews, but we ought to touch base, find out where we are. I'll get you on camera, and you'll probably be at the cocktail party in the back of the convention center.
Yes, I'll definitely be there. Also, we're doing the iTech Lounge there like we did in Vegas.
Right.
So I'll be living there as well.
Okay. Well, there's a hug going to happen. So maybe we'll...
I can't wait.
Wait. I'm going to videotape the hug. I'm going to have evidence, and we're going to send it out to tens of thousands of people. So one of the things, a little over a couple of weeks ago, I had Laura Bruno on a show, and we were talking about personal networking. She's a maven about how you read other people when you walk into a crowded room. And one of the things Bo said was almost exactly what she said, is that you're trying to find out what they want. You try not to go out and say, it's me. And then she made this other comment. How many times do you walk into a chamber of commerce meeting or some other personal networking event, and you immediately make a sale? Anybody here has experienced that?
Oh, no.
Definitely no.
it just doesn't happen. And that's really how you should think of social media, at least from my perspective. We're going to take a very short break right now, and when we come back, we're going to be talking about a number of other matters relating to social media.
Do more business with your biggest clients. Techniques Marketing has perfected exciting new ways to increase your revenue with all your key accounts, way beyond trial and error. And we've done it with some of the biggest companies in America. Look, if you're happy with your numbers, great. If not, let's talk. Visit TechniquesMarketing.com. TECH, that's the tech. NIQUES, there you've got the Neeks. TechniquesMarketing.com. The Institute of Real Estate Management believes good management matters and that well-managed properties pay big dividends. IREM delivers the power of knowledge and recognizes the importance of sharing it. IREM serves real estate professionals who manage all property types. They're dedicated to delivering cutting-edge networking and educational opportunities for every stage of your career. How can IREM help you? To count the ways, log on to IREM Orange County. That's IREMOC.org. Learn more today. For questions, feedback, or to suggest a topic, here's how to reach us. On our website, click the comment button on any show page at creradio.com. On Twitter, send a reply to @CREradio or via email to questions@CREradio.com.
Welcome back to our discussion of social media best practices. I'm looking at my Twitter account right now, which is kind of going crazy, and I wanted to mention that Property Line retweeted, "Know your audience and build trust. 80% of what I tweet is CRE related, but I do get personal, and that helps in business." Amen. You know, I can't imagine, I don't even know what the number would be, you know, in terms of people who are having an opportunity to see this. Let's now kind of jump to the issue of authenticity. How important is authenticity, Bo, in social media?
It's the most important thing.
And why is that?
Especially for a younger generation, which I still think I'm in, though I'm probably not. It's what they care about the most. When you're genuine, when you're authentic, it shares with the world through social media who you really are. And it gets back to the whole, you know, people do business with people they like, but you will get found out. It's like it's written in red when you're faking it. I don't know why that is, but would you guys not agree that when somebody's bloviating or trying to be somebody they're not, you can just tell.
You can see right through it. I totally agree.
Instead of building trust, it does the opposite. I mean, if that's what you're going to do online, you should stop and just not do it. It doesn't help you.
Well, how do you be authentic? I mean, seriously, there are social media experts out there that will tell you, do these 10 things and you will get business. And invariably within those 10 things, they'll tell you to be authentic. So now we're telling people on the radio, be authentic. But what does that really mean? Are there tricks to it? Barbie, I think everybody on this show is incredibly authentic. But how does someone actually understand that?
Well, I don't... It seems like a simple question and a very complicated question at the same time, because it's sort of like a duh moment. You are who you are, and when you project who you are, you're being authentic. Now, if you are tweeting for a brand or you are promoting a brand on social media, you need to inherently understand the core values of that brand, the mission and the vision of that brand, so that you're authentically conveying that corporate authenticity.
I love you, Barbie. I knew that you were one of the right people to pick for this show. That just goes to so much of the heart of what I do and what I believe, is the people have to understand those core values. Sarah, now you're the perfect person to delve into this. You're the...
I don't know about perfect.
Yeah, no. You are the perfect person, because you're not... Barbie is representing Barbie and her brand. She's kind of part of it. So is Bo. So is Michael. And so am I. You're representing a large organization. How do you understand and what are the core values of ICSC? And how
do
you express it?
Really, what we do is we're all about the members. At the end of the day, everything we do, we're all about ICSC members and people that attend our event, and we really want to help you guys do as much business as possible and network. So, you know, it's funny. When I first came on to ICSC, I went straight to analytics, and, you know, I hate to say this, but we were just talking about ourselves nonstop, and needless to say, our impressions were horrible. You know, so I was like, okay, we're no longer talking about ourselves. We're taking a break from talking about ICSC. It's all about the people on Twitter. What do they want to do? What do they want to talk about? Let's take this as an opportunity to learn who our audience is. What are they, like, how do they talk? What are they saying? You know, we don't have a bunch of Justin Bieber followers, right? So we're not, you know, talking like we're 12. But at the same time, you know, we've kind of got that, we do have that cool audience out there that, you know, were the early adopters on social that had that edge that we were able to have some fun with on social. And, you know, it's understanding the balance of being professional but not sounding, no offense, Howard, like a lawyer's right, you know, responding to everybody. So, you know, it's just, again, the most important thing I can say is, as a brand, you just have to understand your audience. If you understand your audience, you know how to just talk to them. It's almost common sense. It's like if someone talks to you a certain way and is really, you know, focused on specific topics, ideas, you know, it's really trying to get in line with what they're doing and understanding that and communicating back in the same manner and being consistent. So, you know... So one day I don't sound like, you know, one person, another day I sound like a completely other person. It's developing a personality for ICSC. I think we've hopefully been able to do that.
Okay. So Sarah, you actually expressed a situation in which you had to sit back and you learned from something. And I would think, let's take a moment, if I might, and talk about what you're trying to do in social, in your social media platforms and ICSC, because you're actually trying to get people to actively participate almost in your own little Facebook and Twitter world. And yes. Why don't you explain that a bit and why you think it's good?
Okay, so Twitter example, it's been so beneficial just managing ICSC's Twitter alone, right? We get to know our members on a daily basis. I mean, again, Michael, I've never met Michael before, but I feel like I know him, you know, and it's just, it's almost like going back in the day when you used to go to the grocery store, right? And they'd be like, hey, Howard, how you doing? You know, in real life, now that hardly ever happens. And that's really what social's been able to do for a lot of big brands as well as ICSC is get back to that intimate interaction with, you know, our members. And so, you know, that's really been, like, the most beneficial, especially on Twitter. On LinkedIn, it's a little bit different. We really provide the space, a safe environment for people to kind of share information and interact with each other. We try not to join the conversation too much on LinkedIn. We haven't found that it's been super successful. We do here and there. However, we help keep the spamming out of LinkedIn. We help keep it focused so that way, you know, it can be as productive as possible with over 37,000 people. On Facebook, it's really sharing information, you know, the latest news, what's going on in the industry. So it's funny because different platforms you just use completely differently. And that's the most important is understanding how our audience is using what platforms and how they want to be communicated to. Instagram's another great example. It's completely different. And then, you know, we have a different audience on there. And the great thing also is on all of these platforms, we can see analytics as far as demographics, age group, who's talking to us, who's really interested in us, who's not, and help us focus our information that way, be able to filter it for the you know, the end consumer who's depending on which social networks they're on. Does that answer your question?
Oh, not only did it answer my question, but it's the perfect lead-in for the next group of things. You must have received the check that I sent to you.
I didn't.
Oh, you didn't? Oh, okay. Well, it must be in
my PayPal. That'll probably be more efficient.
No, I sent it to you via Twitter.
Oh, yeah. Unfortunately, it didn't work.
Yeah, well, some things happen. I guess we have to learn from these things. We're going to take a little break right now, and we're going to hear from a few words from the good people who pay all of our bills around here.
If you're a retail tenant, you really should belong to the NRTA. They're an organization of the tenants, by the tenants, and for the tenants. Whether you manage a large portfolio or just a mom and pop, the National Retail Tenants Association is on your side. NRTA exists to protect retail tenants everywhere and to make sure landlord billings are correct. Don't wait for your next statement of CAM charges to arrive. Log on to retailtenants.org. That's retailtenants.org. Find out more today. What's next for commercial real estate and retail marketing? Pop-up retail, and it's here now. PopUpInsider.com is the premier online resource for owners to advertise and fill properties for temporary use. PopUpInsider.com is where merchants and brands shop for temporary locations. See for yourself. Go to PopUpInsider.com, create your own account, market your empty spaces or view available locations for your business, all on one convenient site. PopUpInsider.com. For questions, feedback, or topics you'd like to hear about, you can reach us on our website. Click the comment button on any show page at creradio.com. On Twitter, send a reply to @CREradio, via email to questions@CREradio.com, or call in during the live show at 619-393-6492 and press 1 to be placed in queue.
We are back with our guests, Sarah Malcolm, Barbie Reuter, Bo Barron, Michael Legazzo, and now our special guest, because we're now going to talk about some of the platforms, maybe give a few tweaks. Shannon, welcome to the show. Please introduce yourself and take about 10 seconds to explain what it is that you do and who you do it for.
Well, hello, everyone. I'm Shannon. Thank you so much for having me here. It's a pleasure. I'll just give you a little bit of a background. We met at the IMN conference in Santa Monica, where I was representing the company that I am working for, which is USA Auction Sales. I am the marketing manager. But we got a little bit sidetracked because we started to discuss social media, and one of my interests that I do just kind of for fun is actually go on Pinterest, and it's kind of nice to just de-stress. And like Sarah, I also grew up during the dot-com era, started out using the old school stuff like Netscape, Flash, and the unsophisticated chat rooms that later evolved into Google, MySpace, Facebook, and iChat.
Shannon, could you try to speak up a little bit? Your volume's a little low.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is that better?
Oh, much better.
Okay. I don't usually use a landline, but this is a special occasion, so I'll have to get more used to that.
That's funny. What's a landline?
Well, I know.
So let's talk about Pinterest a little bit. Let's take a few moments. Why is Pinterest, in your opinion, a valid use of social media for people in commercial real estate?
That is something that I am learning more about. I have kind of accumulated over 34,000 followers on my personal Pinterest account based on my own personal interests. But I'm trying to get to the point, but I was recently recruited by the CEO of a clothing company for women called Tarte Collections, and I'm learning how to use it for more professional purposes. And I did start looking into some of the information that was shared by Barbie and also the CRE stuff that's already out there on Pinterest, and it seems a little bit scarce. There isn't a whole lot there, and I think your average person doesn't really know too much about real estate, and there are so many other different avenues that you can put out there by creating a Pinterest account, including they call them boards for other different categories such as architecture or unique buildings, and then incorporate your current and upcoming listings that you already have to gain exposure. And with the use of social media, you have the hashtags and you have the it's pretty much like free marketing. People are being exposed to what you're putting out there, much like you all seem to focus a lot on Twitter. It's becoming more and more, well known.
Well, Sarah, let me ask you this question. I see, Essa, you're involved in Instagram. I don't know much about that. I know Pinterest is very visual, has a lot to do with pictures. And I've seen some examples where I think this is probably more of the eyeball advertising, where you can put a listing on it with pictures. How are people using Instagram, and do you think that that's similar to Pinterest?
It is. I would say Instagram is probably a little bit easier to use for our industry because Pinterest is so just picture oriented. I mean, that's all it is. It's pinning pictures. Instagram, you can get a little bit more information in there, and now with video, I don't know if you know, but Instagram just released the functionality to be able to add videos, I think it's 12-second videos, 15-second videos, and it's a little bit easier to use, and you can use it a lot of different ways. Atlantic Station, I don't know if you guys know that shopping center. They do they do an awesome job on Instagram. So that's one that you want to look at to see kind of how they're using it. It's definitely a different crowd. It's definitely the cooler kids on Instagram in our industry. And, you know, Pinterest is a difficult one. It's a difficult social platform to figure out how to use. I know Westfield, they did a real-life Pinterest board at one of their shopping centers, you know, with highlighting different things, you know, different retailers and different items that were sold within that mall. So that's something you can do, but it's like I said, Pinterest is a little challenging, and you have to put a little bit more thought into it. Instagram makes it a lot easier.
I also think that you have to be mindful of what platforms your customers and clients are on and where they're seeking information that has a relevant tie to what you do. And so that evolves, and from a commercial real estate standpoint, Pinterest is not quite there yet.
Yeah, I mean, okay. It's the fastest growing social network, you know, from start to where it is now. So, but it's great for retailers. It's great for retailers. Benjamin Moore has had a ton of success on there. I mean, all the major retailers are on there. So anything that's photography focused is does really well. And I don't know, Shannon, maybe you can kind of confirm that, if you agree.
Well, Shannon, why do you have so many personal followers?
Oh, because, like I mentioned earlier, it started out as a hobby for me. And I've always kind of dabbled in different forms of social media. I'm familiar with the MySpace and Facebook and Instagram as well. And I just wanted to mention that Pinterest has also started to incorporate video. And it is a different demographic. It's over 90% women. And so I don't know if they would be considered the cool kids, like you mentioned on Instagram, but they might have more earning potential and the ability to make purchases in real estate. So,
I think it's going to be, I'm very hesitant to say that I don't get it. Actually, I don't get it. But I also didn't get Twitter. My story is pretty much the same as Bo's. So, but I would think that for the more creative types who understand how to take that visual media pictures and able to tell a story with the pictures, I think it'll be very valuable.
Right. You could create a whole board on your commercial real estate Pinterest for just one listing. And if you want to take the time to get the professional pictures done for, like, basically you could do a whole virtual tour of the house with the video and other images and information about the, you know, the schools and what's going on in the neighborhood. There are a lot of things that I don't think anybody is really an expert. I agree with you all, what you were saying earlier in the conversation, because it is so new and it's always something that has to be tweaked and probably will never be perfected. It's a learning curve for sure.
Well, okay, why don't we move on now, if I might, and let's talk a little bit about LinkedIn. Who thinks that they're very knowledgeable about the use of LinkedIn? And don't leave it up to me. Anybody? Raise your hand.
LinkedIn.
Yeah, who's
that?
Michael's very active there.
Yeah, okay. So tell me why you like LinkedIn, how long you've been using it. Bo?
All right, okay. I like it. One, it's the business meeting version of a social media platform, which is probably where I'm the most comfortable naturally. So it kind of fits my personality. But I get way more traffic from LinkedIn to my blog than any other source, and I did not expect that. And
I can say the same thing.
I had no idea that was going to happen. And I get way more comments on LinkedIn regarding to the content that I put out than I actually do on my blog, which I wish they would go comment on my blog.
That yes,
would
be more, we all wish that.
But the conversations end up happening on LinkedIn, and the power, I think, is in the groups that you join. And you can get the same kind of engagement, albeit it's way more professional there, but you can still get the engagement and the connection with people happening there. And, you know, LinkedIn's an outstanding prospecting tool. I never call anybody without trying to find them on LinkedIn first because, you know, there's their information. It's their resume. It's their first impression online. And it's a powerful, powerful platform, and it's probably got the most adoption out of the commercial real estate industry, probably by far, than any other social media platform. So the people that we're competing with, the people that we're trying to earn as clients, and the people we're trying to serve, they're probably, if they're just on one, they're probably on LinkedIn. And so that, I'm in love with it.
You
can also harvest everybody's email addresses, which is fantastic.
For the most part. For the most part. Michael, you've been using LinkedIn for a while. One of the things I noticed was the changes over the last year, because LinkedIn really kick-started our radio show, and that's how we promoted it, and I was very personally involved, and it was very successful for us. And then it got really kind of spammy for me, where its value diminished. But I've been noticing that there have been some changes to that. Can you talk a little bit about the changes? And if you can't, I will.
Howard, I agree. The messaging has cleaned up, so to speak. I think the messaging adds more clarity to the discussion if you're engaging in groups. I think it accelerates impression, it accelerates engagement. I know it's a little overused in this conversation, but just to give you some counter narrative, if you were to go back to the 60s and try to create the number of impressions through network TV, how much would that cost you? And in contrast, on LinkedIn you have video, audio engagement, and you can create those tens of thousands of impressions for free. And I think that's an obvious benefit to social media, but I agree in the last year or so, the conversations have been more meaningful.
That's previously what I had been doing was, putting out, we're going to do a radio show or I'll start a discussion, and there are certain ways of doing that. And Bo, I'm like you again, it's difficult for me to get people to come to our website. Most of the discussions really occur, on LinkedIn. And I think that's their intention. I mean, that's what they want. And of course, we like them to come to the website. But lately, I've noticed it's gotten a lot more Facebook-ish, Twitter-like, in that there's a timeline. And I could actually follow the timeline much in a similar way that I might follow the timeline in Twitter. Barbie, have you experienced that at all, or Sarah?
I have. I've found that as LinkedIn has made their interface more user-friendly and familiar, it's been embraced less as a bulletin board to post your resume than a place to really interact in groups of people that you have commonality with.
Yeah. What about you, Sarah? Now, you don't actually get that involved into LinkedIn. But what have you seen?
I mean, we do. We're there every day, whether you know it or not. We're the police of the LinkedIn group, just with 37,000 people. Some people don't understand how to, promote themselves within a group, and it's really being a thought leader and not being a salesman. Is really how you have success within that group. So we really have to, kind of weed out the salespeople, and, not that there's anything wrong with it, but it's just not the time or place for that. And, make sure everybody, has a great experience in the group. And and the timeline thing, I've noticed that LinkedIn has really, I think, taken some best practices from other social networks.
Yes.
And started to add in, their own twist on it. But the timeline thing I definitely have seen, and I actually like it because I feel like I can quickly get updated on everyone that I'm connected with.
Yes, and I'm finding that people are commenting to me. It's been a little bit of a change, and I've realized that I've missed the boat a little bit over the last 8-9 months, and I have to go back in. Plus, they've added this company page that is not just a list of the people employed by the company, but is actually almost a corporate representative in LinkedIn.
And it is. We have a company page, and when we have a blog post, it's one of the multiple channels that we post to.
Yeah.
Same here.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to have to sit down, relearn some of those, and we need to become more active. I'm actually proud of the things that they have done. We'll return with more from our guests right after these messages.
Manage a shopping center? Always looking for new ideas? Tactics. Tactics Magazine is the idea magazine for shopping center marketing directors all over the world. Exciting promotions, gift with purchase programs, and full-blown ad campaigns. Every edition of Tactics is packed with features, ideas, and news you can use to get the word out and grow your numbers. How can you manage a shopping center without your tactics? Log on to tacticsmagazine.com. Today would be good. TacticsMagazine.com.
Attention commercial real estate brokers and professionals. Have you ever struggled to find the true ownership behind a commercial property? What about finding the phone number, email, and name of the actual decision maker? ProspectNow.com tracks this information on more than 10 million commercial and multifamily properties nationwide. Howard's listeners are invited to a 3-day free trial. Simply go to prospectnow.com and enter the promotion code Howard.
That's prospectnow.com.
For questions, feedback, or to suggest a topic, here's how to reach us. On our website, click the comment button on any show page at creradio.com. On Twitter, send a reply to @creradio. Or via email to questions@creradio.com.
Okay, welcome back to CRE Radio. We were just talking about LinkedIn, and I'm glancing here at some of our tweets. And Barbie, I think you had seen some of this. John Yoker writes in, not to butt in, need to be more social about media and news stories. Barbie, what do you think that John is trying to get to with that? Yes,
John, clarify that. Thank you, John, because I know you're listening in, and you actually pointed us to one of your recent tweets, but he tweeted a question. Do you think shows like Storage Wars have impacted self-storage REIT's performance? So it's this real-time discussion around what the traditional media is reporting.
Oh, okay. But, go ahead, Bo.
Well, it's a little bit of a departure from what we generally do, which is just tweet out a link and a headline and a hashtag. It kind of gives you the context. But it's up to you to go in there and read it. And there's no real conversation or engagement around some of the content that we tweet out. So I think what John's getting at, and I love the way he phrased that, and I love that show, but he's asking a question about the article, shows that he actually read the thing, and he's inviting engagement, which I think is probably a step up from what I tend to do and a great idea.
Well, I think, Bo, you do that, and you do something similar. I do retweet, so we might as well get into the Twitter conversation. I retweet, but only those things that I find interesting and that I think people who follow me find interesting. But I also tweet about things that I wrote about direct and in my blog on our site, so that I direct people to that so that they get engaged, because my blog provides much more detail. And in reality, that's exactly what we're doing right now on the radio. We're spending an hour and a half going into depth and detail, and it's not just 140 characters. Twitter is great, though, to establishing that initial relationship. Isn't that really... I mean, how do you all do that? I know, Barbara, you write blogging. Don't you want to send people to your blog site?
Absolutely. So I blog for PiCorp, Cushman & Wakefield PiCorp, and we've become, over the last two of my 4 years in social media, content creators. And Bo's a content creator, Coy Davidson's a content creator, ICSC's a content creator. We're putting content out there. You don't have to be a content creator to be successful on social media. You can be a curator. But again, it's what is your audience interested in? What value do you bring? And certainly adding your perspective on information you're retweeting in that 140 characters when you can adds more value than simply just retweeting a link.
That's right. That was one of the first things that someone commented to me in LinkedIn is instead of just saying, here's an article, in LinkedIn you could actually give your thoughts on the article. And that's what a content creator does. And for anybody out there who's listening, in my opinion, the ability to create content, worthwhile content, is where it's at. You're going to be the most important people in social media. Anybody disagree with me? I've got a little buzzer that I can...
Not at all.
No, content is king.
Absolutely.
Or queen.
Or queen. We'll go with queen, Barbie.
Yeah, the monarch. the monarch. John Yoka, I wish that I had the ability to pay attention to my five guests and the Twitter with you, but my brain just can't wrap around it. If you would, you and I can get into that conversation a little bit later, and maybe we'll collaborate on an article on our site and bring the other guests in to comment to that. So how do you all feel about Twitter? I know that you're all Twitterers. You're a twit.
Twit,
yeah. I'm a twit. You're twit. Tweeters. Is that the proper way of saying it?
Who knows?
Bo, what are your thoughts on Twitter and where it's going to go?
Well, I view Twitter and I think it's, I think of it as an embassy. And this is an analogy I stole from Michael Hyatt's book that I was mentioning earlier. But if the site you actually control is your home base, all these other sites, all these other social media platforms that you don't control, but you engage with your audience there, are like embassies. So you want to go, you want to have an influence there, you want to create great content, build relationships, and then get them back to your home base. And so that's how I use Twitter as a tool to try to create relationships, increase my presence so that I'm known, and then get people to come see the content that I'm creating. So hopefully it will demonstrate that I'm an expert in what I do, whether that's true or not, who knows. But that's the intent. And so when you are a content creator, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, all these other embassy-type social media sites, I view as is a way to engage and get people to come back to where you actually control the site, which would be a blog or even a YouTube channel or whatever the medium, or podcast.
What a great analogy. You're right on the nose. Bo, you're even more impressive when I'm talking to you than you are on Twitter and your blog. Yeah, I'm really pleased to have you on this show. Not that the rest of you, I'm not pleased.
Again, I've ripped off all these ideas from other people.
That's what I do. Seriously, I think that I have a unique, interesting, original thought, and there's someone else there who somehow or another has the same thing. We're beginning to run out of time. I know that Barbie is going to have to leave at 1:30, so I'd like to wrap up the show at that point. And I would like to end the show primarily with this question I'm going to ask of each and every one of you. What have you gotten, if there was one thing that you can take away from this show, what is that one thing that our listeners should know? Sarah, why don't we start with you?
I mean, I think the big thing is be yourself on Twitter, on social, on Facebook, on LinkedIn. Just be who you are. Don't try to be, if you're not witty, don't try to be witty. If you're not funny, don't try to be funny. If the best you can do is just retweet what the Wall Street Journal puts out and possibly put your opinion, that's okay. You don't have to be, you know, setting the example for the industry of what they should be doing on social. I think that's the biggest thing is some people feel like, you know, I'm not that creative. I don't know how to, like, you know, put something out there that no one's ever said before. And just stop putting so much pressure on yourself and just be genuine and just join in the conversation, dig in, and don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to fail because that's how you learn and that's how you get better. And failing on Twitter is 100% acceptable.
Michael, what's the one thing that someone should take away from this show from your perspective?
I think no matter which engagement platform you use, I think you have to be clear on what your objectives are. If you were to make a business case for it, I think social media in general is a catalyst, whether it's a relationship and whatever that value is, whether it's sales, subscribers, leads, awareness, customer data. I think it's a great way to either get to know your customer better or get in touch with some really smart folks who are doing business better than you are.
And Barbie, what about you? What's the one thing that you think people should get away from? I'm making this very unfair to the last person that I ask, and Michael and Barbie, because everybody else has got such great comments. You're going to try to find something a little bit different.
Yeah, I can tie maybe a bit to what Sarah and Mike have said, and that's to know your audience and to not try to be all things to all people. And maybe that goes back also to not biting off more than you can chew or doing more platforms than you're able to manage consistently and authentically. So that's what I would say.
And Michael, what are your thoughts?
Well,
you probably meant Bo.
Oh, I'm sorry, Bo.
No, that's fine.
I'm getting confused. Trust me. It is not easy when you've got four or five people on the show, and Shannon and I haven't forgotten about you.
It can't be. The one thing I would say, though, as a takeaway is, you know, if you create a presence on social media but you're not prospecting, you're going to be famous and broke.
Yeah. Good point.
You will be. You want to think of this whole area of social media, this whole realm, as a way to create a presence for yourself that helps you in prospecting. And the greatest story I've heard about this is from a guy named Jeffrey Gitmer, who's an author you may have heard of. He used to create a syndicated column that was produced, and he may still do it, in all kinds of newspapers all over the world. And he went to call on Roger Staubach in Dallas without an appointment. He was just trying to walk in there. The gatekeeper, his secretary, or his administrative assistant wouldn't let him in. And Roger, in his office, heard Jeffrey Gitmer talking in there, runs out of his office, grabs him because he's read his stuff. He knew that Jeffrey Gitmer's presence went before him, and that's what social media can do for you. You can get known, you can demonstrate your expertise, and it helps you in prospecting, in making calls, in getting to the people that you want to talk to. That's why this is important. Otherwise, like I said, you can just be famous and broke.
Bo, very poetic. Let me finish off with perhaps a little bit of what's important to me in the radio show and the social media, because my goal is a little bit different. My goal is probably a little bit more similar to Sarah. We just want people to come to the site, but it's not just that simple. What gets me going is inspiring people to do something that helps themselves. And I'm looking at Twitter right now, and Broker Savant, who I've befriended on Twitter for a couple of weeks now, and they write, "We just created our official LinkedIn company page. Follow us, won't you?" And I'm like so excited. Someone got something out of this. And that's really why I do this. Of course, I do it for money, just like brokers do things and attorneys do things for money. But that gets my motor going, that someone actually got it. Shannon, you're still on
yes,
with us. What's the one thing what's the one thing that you've taken away from this?
Well, I'm kind of feeling a little bit like the underdog here, and that's okay because Pinterest is pretty new to social media, and everybody was skeptical with Facebook, and it wasn't even something available to the general population. You had to be registered as a college student. So just look at how that's exploded. And then you, of course, have Twitter, which I think may be more of an ideal platform for the commercial real estate, but not to discount something like Pinterest, because just a little fact, 97% of online searches are like, you know, when you go to look for anything, you're going to go to Google first. You might be a little, you know, too lazy or forget the actual domain name. So you'll see right away when you search for what you're looking for, all of the different outlets for social media that may be linked with that. And so whoever is searching, you might find what your particular audience is, you know, the audience you're looking for will gravitate towards. And maybe, you know, maybe it's not Pinterest, but it's, I think, too early to tell. And it's definitely great for retailers, which is what I've learned to do. And with my USA auction sales, I am planning on using the knowledge that I've learned with my personal account and the fashion consulting that I'm doing for a more, I guess, real estate target audience.
Well, Shannon, so, I'm looking forward to you being the leader on this. And a year from now, for me to, on my hands and knees, go, you're right. And I'm not joking about that, because I've experienced that with Twitter, and I've experienced that with Facebook. And although we haven't had the opportunity to talk about Google+, Google+ is beginning to pique my interest because of, if nothing else, its search value in the internet generally. So we're not going to have the opportunity to talk about that. Maybe we'll do that on a separate show. So I'd like to now thank everybody. Boy, you guys have been wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. John Yoka, you and I are going to touch base, and I'm going to get a little bit more into that. That's a perfect example of how social media can be good. And please, Sarah, you and I are going to have a big hug on video.
Can't wait.
Yeah, and
I'll retweet it.
Yes, and I've lost a bunch of weight, so there's not as much, because I actually clicked on one of those links that I get about losing weight.
Oh, no, and your Twitter account got hacked.
Yeah.
We should do a group Twitter hug. Everyone at Western,
yeah,
come to the iTech Lounge at 2 p.m. on Thursday, and we'll do a Twitter hug. How about that?
It'll be a virtual hug. It'll be a virtual hug.
I'll pull my proxies from the office.
Or maybe now, and I'm just going to throw this out, now that, you know, printers can print in 3D, maybe we can all send in our virtual selves and ICSE can print us and, you know, in a group hug. What do you think?
Let's do it. All right.
What a great show. I got to tell you, I have so much fun doing the radio show. And Sarah, Michael, Bo, Barbie, and Shannon, you really make my life worthwhile. I love this. So I'm not even going to do the rest of it. I'm going to let Barbie go now. We're going to close the show with the music. And thank you all very, very much.
Thank you, Howard.
Thank you, Howard.
Thank you.
Please listen again next time to CRE Radio with Howard Klein. Every live and recorded broadcast is accessible on your desktop, tablet, or smartphone at creradio.com or in iTunes, just search for CRE Radio. Here's how to reach us with your questions, feedback, and show topics you'd like to hear about. On our website, click the comment button on any show page at creradio.com. On Twitter, send a reply to @CRE Radio, via email to questions@creradio.com. Or call in during the live show at 619-area-393-6492 and press 1 to be placed in queue. CRE radio broadcasts are presented on an informational basis only, with the intent of engaging, educating, and entertaining our listeners. Howard and his guests' conversations specifically do not offer legal advice. If you need legal advice, please consult your own attorney. Portions of the show may have been pre-recorded. Unauthorized editing or copying of the show without the express written consent of CRE Radio is strictly prohibited. All rights reserved.
And that's a wrap.